We invite Luke up. It's a joy to have Luke with us this morning. You might have spotted Luke at our 10:45 over the last year. And Luke, let me just, if people don't know who you are, tell us what you do. What do you do?
All right, so I'm a full-time itinerant minister, evangelist, and spend my days on the road traveling, not just the UK, but a lot in Europe and America, Canada, and other places too.
And what gives you great joy in doing that? What's the greatest joy to you as you do that?
Well, the greatest joy is I get the opportunity to tell people about Jesus and see people commit their lives to him. But it's also wonderful to see the local church in a number of different denominations, cultures, diversity, and just see people gather around God's word and see what God is doing in these different communities and cities and nations.
And you were in Amsterdam last weekend. How was that?
I was in Amsterdam last weekend. It was interesting flying into a lockdown, having been well aware of it over here for some time, but it was good. It was special. I spoke in the heart of Amsterdam in a service where they were beaming the service to two or three other theatres in Amsterdam, and we saw several people give their hearts to Christ.
And Luke, you've just been taken on as on the Archbishop of Canterbury's evangelism. What's it called? You told me. I wrote it down, but I can't find the better place. What is it?
So the member of the Archbishop of Canterbury's College of Evangelists.
Great.
So it's a long time.
Yeah, it's great. But actually, I know that there's lots of people around the country who are part of the college who seek to proclaim the gospel in the Anglican Church. So praise God for that. Well, we're looking forward to hearing you. Every blessing. Please grab your Bibles and do enjoy.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Well, good morning, All Saints. You're sounding good this morning. And welcome to you watching online as well. What a joy it is to be with you on this first Advent Sunday of 2021. For those of you who don't know me, I do get a little bit loud, I do get a bit excited, but that's because I love Jesus, so I'm ready to go. All right, let me pray, and then we'll get into the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you that your grace and mercies are new every single day. And Lord, I ask that this morning, may every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice leave this service different to the way they came in. Lord, I ask that minds will be renewed, that souls will be transformed, that hearts will be refreshed. Oh Lord, I ask that you would have your way in this place. Move among us today. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, the title of my message is this: God remembers his promises. As we enter into Advent season, we will take the next 4 weeks in the build-up to Christmas to reflect and celebrate the birth of Christ. But it is also a time to focus and wait in anticipation for the second coming of Christ. Both are promises. One of them have been fulfilled. The other, we are still waiting on coming to pass. Promises. Have you ever been given a promise? Promises come in a variety of ways. Promises can be fun, light-hearted, even trivial. You may promise to take your child to the cinema if they have tidied up their bedroom. You may promise to take the Christmas decorations down before Easter this time. When I was 5 years old, my granddad promised that he would take all of his grandchildren to Disneyland, Florida. I'm 37 years old and I'm still waiting on that promise. But promises can also be personal, powerful, and somewhat painful if they take their time in coming to fruition, especially when it is a God promise. In the months that followed the loss of my first child, a stillborn baby girl that we had called Elle, God gave my wife a promise that we would have children. The fulfillment of that promise didn't happen overnight. There were two miscarriages to follow. When Lila was born, she was rushed into special care with breathing difficulties, where for 8 days her life hung in the balance. We then had to wait another 3.5 years before Lucille arrived, the completion of that promise. I wonder if God has ever given you a promise. Now, I would suggest he has, as the Bible is packed full of promises for the believer. But perhaps, though, you're still waiting on the completion of that promise. You're still waiting to meet that husband or wife. You're still waiting to see your children or grandchildren give their heart to Jesus. Perhaps for you, your promise is something to do with your career or being healed from a deep wound or being set free from something that has kept you bound to your past. Maybe you don't think God has ever given you a promise. If that's you, can I encourage you to open a Bible later today before you go to bed and start reading these pages? For as you study and meditate on his word, you will soon discover the promises he has personally made to both you and I. But what do you do? What do you do when you are waiting on a God promise? My assignment this morning comes from a passage of text in Luke, where an angel of the Lord visits Zechariah, a priest that had a wife called Elizabeth. One day, while Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Startled by what he saw, he was even more shocked by what was said, that his wife was to give birth to a son, and not any son. His son was to be named John, and he would be used by God to turn people's hearts towards him and point people to Jesus. Now, for Zechariah, we cannot underestimate the magnitude of this visitation. The Bible tells us that this was the first spoken message from heaven in more than 400 years. So this is no ordinary day. But there was something else which made this announcement even more miraculous. The Bible says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were both very old. The King James Version says both are now well stricken in years. I like that language. Add to that that Elizabeth was barren and had not been able to conceive. So this couple were far beyond any hope of having any children. It ain't going to happen. Church, let me remind you today that when God is the Lord of your life, then anything is possible. Nothing is too hard for God. And we see that a short time later in Luke 1:57. It says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. God fulfilled his promise. Now, there is so much in this story that we can learn from, but I want to pull out just two keys that I believe is going to encourage, ignite, and strengthen your faith as you wait on God's promise to come to pass in your life. The first is this. Number one is that God hears your every prayer. God hears your every prayer. When the angel appeared to Zechariah, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him in Luke 1:13, do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard. Now, that in itself should be an encouragement to us all. God has heard his prayers. However, reading the text, I get the impression that Zechariah had stopped asking God for a child. He had given up on getting an answer in this area. Now, this could have been for a number of reasons, but perhaps he thought that over all the years of praying, maybe God hadn't heard him. I'm sure that we could all agree to praying prayers that we think God hasn't heard. I prayed that I'd be married by this time. I'm still single. I prayed that I'd be over that heartbreak by now. It still troubles me. I prayed that that affliction would have gone already. I still battle with it. There are many prayers that we pray that seem to remain unanswered, but just because you haven't seen exactly what you desire doesn't mean that God hasn't heard you. And this text in Luke 1:13 proves that. God hears your every prayer. God said in Jeremiah 29:12 that you will call upon me. You will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. God has seen those painful prayers too. The ones that keep you up all night. The ones that drive you to your knees. The ones that you utter with tears streaming down your face. No prayer, big or small, loud or quiet, joyful or sorrowful, escapes God's attention. There is no doubt about that. That is why it is important to devote yourself to prayer. That's what it says in Colossians 4, verse 2. To pray, pray, and pray some more. I once heard a story about a man called George Muller that lived a life of persistent prayer. George Muller was a German missionary who came to England in the 1800s. He founded orphanages in Bristol. He was a mighty man of God who witnessed firsthand God's miraculous power on numerous occasions. And he wrote these words about praying. The great point to prayer is to never give up until the answer comes. I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He is not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? I am praying. George Muller died, and that man was still not saved. But as they lowered Muller's coffin into the ground, the man he had been praying for the majority of his lifetime, repented of his sins and gave his heart to Christ at the graveside. Friend, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for your loved ones. Don't stop praying for your miracle. Don't stop praying for your healing. Don't stop praying for your children, your finances, your job, for those chains to come loose, to be free of that bondage. Some of the most effective prayers you will ever pray are the persistent ones. Whether God moves instantly or He moves over a process of time, keep knocking on heaven's door. The answer may look different to what you are expecting. It may not come to pass for many years. Either way, God has heard your prayers. He has seen your tears and your miracle. Your miracle matters. It matters to God. He will appear. He will arrive. He will answer in His perfect time. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has heard your prayers. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor. And say, God has heard your prayers too. The second thing we learn, the key we learn from Zechariah when it comes to strengthening your faith as you wait on a God promise is this. Number two is that God is bigger than you think. The Bible describes Zechariah and his wife as righteous in the sight of God. They observe God's commands and decrees blamelessly. In other words, they were good, faithful, godly people. They even came from a line of priests. I mean, these are the sort of people you want in your house group. Nervous laughter. They loved God. They knew God. They served God. So how is it then that Zechariah, with all his experience and all of his knowledge, could get his response to the angel in regards to having a son so wrong? Listen to what he said in Luke 1:18. How can I be sure of this? For years, he's believed God, but now in this moment, the most defining moment of Zechariah's life, he doubts the God who stands before him. You've got it wrong, God. I'm too old. My wife is too old. It's too late now. Our chances of having children is long gone. In other words, there was a disbelief that God could still perform a miracle in his situation. He knew that God was powerful, but I think this miracle, well, that's just a step too far for you, God. Oh, I wonder, has anyone ever had those same thoughts? You felt called to do something significant with your life. Maybe God has put a dream on your heart, like Zechariah. You may have prayed about it for many years, but it hasn't yet happened. And deep down, you don't actually believe anymore that it can happen. You may say to yourself, I've missed my moment. I've blown my biggest opportunity. It's too late now. There's no way God can work in my situation. It's over. It's finished. I'm done. You know, if you've ever wrestled with thoughts like that, you're in good company. For here is Zechariah, one of the most faithful, godly men on the planet, chosen by God to be the father of John the Baptist. Even he felt like that. Even he wrestled with thoughts like that. And the angel is standing right in front of him. You see, the first thing Zechariah did was look at his situation with earthly eyes. Human logic kicked in, telling him that what he had just heard was insurmountable. It was unachievable. It was just plain ridiculous. Years of disappointment had left him with little faith. So you cannot be too hard on him. You see, when those desperate prayers you pray remain unanswered, it can leave you disconcerted or even disillusioned. Do you know it's difficult to keep asking God for a particular breakthrough in your life, but yet heaven remains silent? It's disheartening when you see other people move forward, but you find yourself stuck. It's onerous to retain a level of belief when there is a lack of real proof that you are actually progressing. But here is where you need to challenge and change your perspective and learn from Zechariah's response. He made a mistake in the way he doubted God's promise, and as a result of his unbelief, the angel struck his mouth and he was unable to speak until the birth of his child came to pass. Oh, friend, remember this, that whenever human logic and God's promises come face to face, God's word must remain superior. I'll say that again. Whenever human logic and God's promises come face to face, God's word must remain superior. Friend, I have no idea what answers that you are waiting on God for today. Perhaps God didn't meet your deadline. Perhaps that door didn't open. Perhaps you have completely given up on your dream. Well, it's time for you again to stir up that gift of faith on the inside. You know, faith is wholeheartedly believing first without seeing any physical evidence that it can happen. Faith is the bridge between our natural thoughts and our supernatural God. Oh, you might not understand where you are right now or why you are where you are right now, but you don't need to understand anything for everything, for faith does not demand details. You just need to have some faith, for without it, it is impossible to please God. Oh, don't let your doubting or your unbelief be the delay to God's plan for your life. We serve an awesome God, the God that is all-knowing, all-powerful and ever-present. The Bible says that He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, to have some faith in our mighty God. When Mary was visited by an angel, telling her that she was to have a child, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Yes, she acknowledged she was a virgin, but then she boldly confessed in Luke 1:38 that I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Oh, what a remarkable woman. What a remarkable woman. No doubt, no hesitation, no further questions, just some courageous faith. Oh, I wonder, are you going to believe his promises for your life this Christmas? Mary did. And Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, she believed too. Her first response on hearing that she was going to have this child was this: the Lord has done this for me. Yes, these miracles were on two ends of the spectrum. One was a virgin. The other was beyond childbearing years, yet they are both so similar. Both got pregnant when it was not supposed to happen. Both divine messages did not make sense in the natural, but yet both came to pass. John came to prepare the way. Jesus was and still is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, why do we focus on Advent? Why do we get so excited about Christmas? Because unto us a Savior was born. Jesus was God's redemption plan to a broken humanity. He was the fulfillment of a promise, a prophecy given by Isaiah some 740 years before it actually came to pass. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14. He said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Son of God, he lived, he died on a cross, and he rose again so that you and I could be forgiven from our sins, so that we could conquer our sickness, overcome our adversity, and give us the key to spend all eternity with our Father in heaven. He was and is the good news, the only remedy to our bad news. It's through his life and resurrection that God's plan was complete. It was confirmation to us all that no word from God shall ever fail. It shall never fail. And the story in Luke 1 is in the Bible to remind us of that fact. You see, friend, God had been very intentional in who he chose to carry this baby boy called John. You see, the name Zechariah means God remembers. That's what his name means, God remembers. And the name Elizabeth means his promises or his oath. So when you put that couple together, you get the words, God will remember his promises. Oh, that was no coincidence. That was no coincidence. And so as I finish, and I have to have a finish, otherwise I'll preach all day. As I finish, I don't know what you've been through this year. I don't know what this Christmas looks like for you. I don't know what breakthrough you're waiting on God for. But I do know that when God gives a promise, he doesn't forget it. He promised that Jesus would come to earth in human form. He promised that he would overcome the grave. He promised that he would be the Savior of the world. He promised to be the Prince of Peace. He promised to be our joy in the midst of troubled times. He promised to be our hope when facing despair. He promised to love you even when you do not love yourself. He promised he would be with you to never leave you nor forsake you. He promised to give you a great plan and purpose for your life. He promised to send his Holy Spirit to equip and empower us. He promised to give us all authority. He promised you victory over every circumstance that will come against you. And he promised that one day, he will return again. So hold on. Hold on to his word. Hold on to his promise. Keep believing. Keep declaring what his Bible says. Keep talking like your promise is on the way. For my Bible says that God remembers his promises and they shall come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Look, why don't you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. Whenever I get the opportunity to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ, I always take a moment to allow people to make their peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. I've already told you the good news this morning, that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins. But 3 days later, the Bible boldly declares that the grave could hold him no more, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In doing so, he made a way for you to be accepted, forgiven, and loved. The Bible calls this love the gift of salvation. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. But if you are to repent of your sins, which means say sorry to God and turn towards him and reach out in faith and invite Jesus to come alive in you, then that's what he'll do. And your life will never be the same again. And so right now, if I'm talking to you, I would love the privilege of praying a simple prayer of faith with you. Maybe you've never made this decision before. Perhaps it's the first time you've ever come to church or tuning in online and you don't really understand everything I'm saying, but you know something is stirring in your heart and you need to get right with God this morning. Or perhaps once upon a time you had said yes to Jesus, but you've backslidden. Perhaps you feel like God has let you down. And he hasn't come through with that promise, and you've doubted him and walked away. But today you know you've got to get your life right with him again. I'm speaking to you too. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to pray. And I want you to just pray it in your heart. I'm not going to call anyone to the front. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. This isn't about me and you. This is a moment between you and God. And so why don't you repeat this in your hearts after me? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. Father, I turn towards you and I accept your gift of grace. I ask that you would use me as a follower of Christ, to make your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And a faith-filled church said, amen and amen. Steve is going to come up and tell you, if you've prayed that prayer, what to do next. But can I just say one thing? The Bible says that when you pray that prayer, when you make that decision, there is a party going on in heaven over that decision today. It's the best decision you'll ever make. So God bless you. See you soon.
Thanks. Thank you, Luke. And if you have maybe given your life to Christ the first time today or recommitted yourself, we've got a whole bundle of packs at the back we can give you, which has got a Bible and a book and a response card. And we'd love to invite you to come and study more, find out more, to join us. We run little courses in the new year called Hope Explored, where we're going to just look at the Christian faith. It'd be a great thing for you to do next, but do speak to Luke right at the door. We'll give you a pack as you leave. But we're going to just continue in prayer now. Let us pray.